what I want to share tonight is a bit exciting. It's something we're going to do together because I believe that God is stirring something up at Bayside at the moment. I've felt something that's starting to build over the last few weeks and months. Something's going to bring a change to our church. It's going to bring a change to your families, a change to your world. I believe a change to this community. And this, and not just this community, but the community beyond here, Australia and even internationally. But it's going to take a united effort. It's going to take everyone using their unique gifts that God has given you. It's going to take a journey together. It's also a statement that we use here at Bayside. And that is, if you look in there and you look under the staff and it says, who are the ministers at Bayside Church? What does it say? It says, we're all ministers. We're all ministers. And some of you are going, I don't believe that. But no, we are. We are all ministers. In Matthew 28, 18, it says this, that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, this is Jesus saying to them, go and make disciples of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. He's saying, go. It's a command that he's giving us for all of us to go, all of us to be ministers wherever we are. You know what? The thing I like about this command is not just for me to do, it's for everyone. I don't have to do this alone. That actually allows me to have a bit more peace with this scripture. As the song says, we're all in this together. I could get you up and you can all sing and put a swing arms and we could all, no, we're not going to do that. Sitting around tables is a little bit enough for some of you, I know. I don't want to push it too far. But this scripture is actually one of the, as growing up as a Christian or even as a new Christian and become, and further on in my journey, has been one of the scariest scriptures for me to look at. Because I actually see it as go into all the world. It's a bit of confrontation that is there. And I don't like confrontation. It doesn't really, part of my character is to naturally want to confront others. And it also stops, it says, go and make disciples, but then it doesn't give you the how to do that. Great, Jesus, you've said that. Yeah, I want to do it, but how do I do that? And that's where I sort of always come unstuck is the how. How do you do it? It's always been my struggle. When I was at Bible college, the students would sit there and they would start talking and they'd say, on Friday night, we're going to go into the city, and we're going to get on a soapbox and we're going to preach the word and we're going to see people get saved. And I'm sitting there going, oh, really? Okay. And that's what they wanted. It just didn't really sit with me, is standing on a soapbox and going. That's what they thought going and making disciples was. And you know what? For some of them, it really worked. Others, not so much. But what we are all ministers because it's not just up to those who are in paid ministry. Because each of us is unique. We all have a unique gift and a unique talent. And there's people that you can reach that I can't reach. And there's people I can reach that you can't reach that are in your world and probably will never be in my world. But I believe that God is stirring the how at Bayside. He's stirring the how at Bayside. A few weeks ago, it might have been months ago now, Lisa McGinnis-Smith was speaking to us. And she shared that we have to actually, when we hear something from God or we learn something about God, don't just keep it to yourself, but go and tell someone else. Go and tell someone else, because when you start speaking it out, it means you're applying it to your life. And when you apply it to your life, it actually becomes real. And faith is supposed to not just be about our faith. We're supposed to actually go out and live our faith out as well. Then we had Pastor Dale Stevenson. He came and he gave us a very simple tool. By the way, has anyone used that simple tool? Just out of curiosity, a couple have been brave enough to put their hands up. So the simple tool was, I've been wanting to read the Bible. Would you like to read it with me? And waiting on the Holy Spirit before you do that, to say, who is it you want me to ask? Waiting for the timing of now when to ask them as well. He acknowledged that it was a Goliath for some people to actually step out and take that move. And we spoke into that and prayed into that. And I believe tonight that other things are going to be broken off people as we're going through. Out of that initiative at his church, there was 500 new disciples in 1 year. 500. But like we've just seen tonight, I asked him in between the services and having conversation about this, there's only a 10% uptake at his church. So while it is a great tool and it is a way to share, it's not the only way to share. It's not the only how we can create disciples. So how do we do that? Well, first, how do we all become ministers? First, I want to give you my definition of ministry. My definition of ministry is what happens in our wake as we follow Jesus. Everyone been on a boat? Got Rob Hurrell here, great salesman. When you're on a boat, there is a wake that follows behind you, and you can see that, and it's the water turns up. But that's what ministry is. It's what happens in our wake as we follow Jesus. So the first thing we need to do in ministry, and to all be ministers, is we need to learn to simplify. We need to learn to simplify. Simplify the gospel. Jesus said, love God and love others. Don't we like to complicate things? He said, love God and love others, and we would have put another 10 steps in there. We want to focus on everything else. He says, no, focus on the love God and love others. I think the key for us to do this is actually through relationships. Through relationships. I want to share with you an excerpt out of Brian Houston's book. It's called Live, Love and Lead, and I think it's coming up behind me in a moment. It says this, and I suspect this willingness to love others unconditionally and its regular practice are what is significantly missing from many believers' lives. We say we want to love others just as God loves us, but too often we end up choosing comfort and convenience over compassion. This is not the example set by Christ and not the way we are called to love. As painful as relationships can sometimes be, we are made in God's image as relational beings, created to belong, to serve, to worship, and to live in community. God often provides for us and loves us through the people in our lives, even as we're called to be His hands and feet to those around us. Relationships are the lifeblood of the church, the body of Christ. As a result of His unconditional love for all people, we often find God in the midst of places and situations where you would least expect Him. On street corners and in alleyways, in hospitals and prisons, orphanages and courtrooms. Everywhere you find people, there you'll find God. I think it's amazing. Everywhere you find people, there you'll find God. I believe the key to being ministers is through relationships, because relationships help you to see the person and not a product. How often we just get caught up in saying, I've just got to get them saved. No. See the person. Relationships break barriers. Relationships demonstrate love. Relationships help people to return to God. They point people towards God and his church. When we create relationships, we remember names. We can acknowledge others, and people will come back. Have you noticed there's a few of you wearing name tags? This is an initiative that came out of the men's retreat. Because as I said, when we got to hang out, for life of me, I couldn't remember half the people's names. So I'm like, for my own benefit, I'm going to have some name tags up there. And I've kept it going because sometimes it takes one, two, or three times to learn a name. Other times it takes 50 times to learn a name. I'm sorry. That's just the way I am. And I know I'm not the only one in the room that's like that. So we're doing them. And hopefully it doesn't make you feel too uncomfortable. But it's just a way to get to know others. When we continue to have relationships, or people are continuing to be exposed to Christians and have a relationship with them, they're also exposed to the Holy Spirit. And when they're exposed to the Holy Spirit, people's hearts are softened. And when their hearts are softened, the Spirit can move at will and not just in a meeting. I think we heard that from Andrew's story about his friend who he's helping out at work. The Holy Spirit is moving through a relationship. So how do we do this? Well, I think the starting point is in 1 Peter 3:15. If you've got your Bibles, you can open that. That's the scripture I'm going to be referring back to many times tonight. But 1 Peter 3:15 says, but in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Remember what I said, ministry is what happens as we, in our wake, as we follow Jesus, so we put our eyes on Him. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks. So don't just tell them when you meet them, but wait for them to ask a question. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, and to give a reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Do this with gentleness and respect. Answering what only is asked, that is super hard sometimes. I know when I was early in my faith, every opportunity I came, I would try to give them every bit of knowledge I had, every bit of scripture I knew. I'd just try and get it all out at once if they showed any sort of interest at all. And I realized after time that I'd start answering their question, then when I start going beyond, their eyes glaze over. And then they never talk to me again. I don't know. But when you're asked and when you give your response, do it with gentleness and respect. And then we have to learn to just wait, zip it. That's right. There's a song by a band that I really like called 21 Pilots. The song's called Heathens, and it was on a soundtrack to a superhero movie. And I've got the song of the words of the chorus up behind me. And these guys are Christians, as I said, but they're living in a secular world. They're singing to a secular world. But he's actually, I believe, this is a message to the church. And they state that when you hear some of their interviews. It says, "All my friends are heathens. Take it slow. Wait for them to ask you who you know. Please don't make any sudden moves. You don't know half of the abuse. All my friends are heathens. Take it slow. Wait for them to ask you who you know. Please don't make any sudden moves. You don't know half of the abuse. So always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks." It then goes on in verse 2. So it's now talking about the church here. "We don't deal with outsiders very well. That's a perception. They say newcomers have a certain smell. I'm sorry, you don't. Yeah, trust issues, not to mention." And here he's switching to those who are in the secular society. "They can smell your intentions. When we don't come out of a relationship, they can smell your intentions. If you've just got a meeting with someone just to get them saved, they'll smell it out. You're loving on the freak show sitting next to you. You'll have some weird people sitting next to you. You'll think, how did I get here sitting next to you? But after all I've said, please don't forget. All my friends are heathens. Take it slow." I think that's the first key in relationships, is don't rush them. Take it slow. Perhaps that's the way we can simplify becoming a minister. It's just not trying to do it out of our own strength, but sitting there waiting, "God, who is it you want to speak to me to today? What's the conversation I'm going to have?" And be expectant when he does that, and be ready to step out. No matter if, like Andrew, is in his workplace. Sometimes it might be during a sporting event. It could be with a family member. How many times I've rushed past and ignored my children just trying, because I'm in a rush, rather than waiting to listen to what it is. So I've lost opportunities to be a parent. Learn to take it slow. So the first thing is we need to simplify our faith. We can do that, and we can do that by building relationships. Second thing is we need to personalize it. We need to personalize what we do. So you have to actually say, "I am a minister." You've got to actually believe you are a minister. I want you to say it after me. "I am a minister." Oh, that was very lackluster. Come on. Come on. "I am a minister." Doesn't mean you have to wear a dog collar. Doesn't mean that you have to change what you're doing. God will use you as you are. He's got a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us. He wants to use you. We just have to sit there and say, "I am a minister." You have to start believing it, and then as you step out, that he's already there with you. He's already gone before you. We've got the Hunger Games coming up. I'm just going to have to do a quick plug for Kay. Hunger Games Trivia Night. It's going to be awesome. It is fairly food-oriented. One of my favourite shows for a few years was MasterChef. I really enjoyed MasterChef. Who likes MasterChef? Yeah? I liked MasterChef. I like watching it. Haven't seen the last few seasons. Just time factor, I suppose. But one of the things that you'd notice is if there was an ingredient missing, or if there's something missing out of the dish, the judges would know. There'd be a texture that would be wrong. There'd be something off that wasn't on the plate, or just wouldn't taste right. Well, it's no different to us. If we don't actually bring what we have to God, there's going to be a missing ingredient in the body of Christ. There's going to be someone who's going to be possibly missing out. It's not going to taste right. It's not going to feel right. People will notice, because we're all ingredients in God's plan. But I do want to free you from something. You don't have to minister to everybody, okay? It's not your job to minister to everybody, but you are expected to be ministers. So how can we personalize this? Well, I think it takes a move from being self-conscious to being God-conscious. I know that's what it took the shift for me. And I know Hattie spoke about that last week, from the time when he was in primary school to where he is now, and sharing such a great message last week. He wouldn't have been able to do that in primary school, But he's gone from being self-conscious to being God-conscious and stepping into who God has called him to be. And that's what our journey's about. We've got to actually give it a go. So there's a scripture that has really helped me with this. I shared it at the men's retreat. I've shared it at leadership nights as well. And it's Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And it says this, "And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." And all the more as you see the day approaching. This scripture helps you to personalize your engagement with those that are around you. Because everyone's an individual, and you can't just have a blanket thing that you do with every person. You've got to sit there and look into their eyes and see Jesus in their eyes. What do you want me to say, or what do you want me to do with this person? And then don't apply it to the next person. Come ask the question again. Because as it says, this scripture says, I've got a flow chart that if it can come up on the screens behind me. It's got here, it says, "Let us consider." This is straight away moving you from being self-conscious to God-conscious. The consideration is not, let's consider how I'm going to feel right now. Let's not consider what I said, but let's consider where they are. Where are they coming from? What's going on in their life right now? That's why we ask the question, how was your week? Because you're considering the other person. Then from there, it's let's spur them on. So spurring is getting them moving. Gives you then a direction towards love and good deeds. Don't annoy them, but towards love and good deeds. So sometimes you might just have to say something and then zip it. Other times it might be a bit more gentle instruction. But when we spur someone on towards love and good deeds, what we've done there is we've created an expectation. Is it their expectation? No, it's your expectation. You're trying to encourage them towards a certain place. And what I've noticed in life is when you give encouragement to people or when you might give them some suggestions, they don't often measure up to what you see in your mind or where you wanted them to be. And when that happens, what is your natural response? Walls go up. I'm not going to help them anymore. Gee, I've tried. And we actually start taking steps backwards. That's why the scripture then goes on to say, don't stop meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. But then you need to approach them again. And what do you need to do when you approach? Let's encourage. Let's encourage. We should be people who encourage wherever we go. Continual encouragers. So we encourage them. And then that brings you back to the top. How do I encourage them? Well, I've got to consider where they're going. And that encouragement can be if they're successful, you encourage them. If they're not, you still encourage them. I don't know about you, but I know what all my faults are. I know when I haven't lived up to the mark. We don't need any more of that in this world. The third thing we've done, we've simplified, we've personalized, and then we've just got to normalize what we do. It's got to become part of what we do 24/7. We shouldn't bench Jesus for parts of our life. He's got to carry him with us wherever we go. And where'd he go? He was on the camera. Ethan, where's Ethan gone? Oh, yeah, Ethan's out the back. Ethan last week, he's thrown me. Ethan last week, he shared that we shouldn't live with one foot in the world and one foot there. And he said, just get out there and actually do it. Our whole lives should be sacred. Our whole lives, that's how we should live them, out of a place of faith. So we've got to normalize what we do. I want to share an example of someone who's part of our church here tonight around this. He's a husband. He's a father to three children. He's a builder by trade. He's got a team that works for him and many subcontractors and clients that he has to engage with at all times. Is he perfect? Nope. Does he have it all together? Nope. Even though he might say so sometimes. Does he always get it right? No. Actually, he doesn't even pretend that he has it all together. But what he does do is he displays generosity and fairness wherever he goes. He's got his faith journey, while not perfect, it is consistent. The people around him get to see his character over time because he does relationship with others and ensures that he's actually not ever taken out of context. Because they know his heart, they know who he is. He can reach people that I can't reach, and he probably can reach people that you cannot reach. What he does is he sets his heart apart, in his heart apart, Christ as Lord. He's always ready to give an answer. He's always ready to share when it's appropriate. I know there's many of his guys and many of his subcontractors will ask him to pray for them. And he says, if they're going through something, I'll pray for you. And then he'll follow him up in relationship. He doesn't just leave it there. Next time he sees him, he says, hey, how's that going? Would you like me to continue to pray for you? Is there anything else that I can do to help you? Because of this display and this normalization of his faith, he's not putting out there this perfect picture of what a Christian should be. He's real. He slips up. He makes mistakes. But he's a real guy. His whole team came and dedicated a day when we had Love the House. And they were some of the people who had the softest hearts towards Christ that I've met. But I believe it's because of the work that he's been doing and the example that he's been setting before them. He hasn't been shoving it down their throat. He's been loving on them through relationship. He simplified the faith to, I love you, God, and I'm going to love others. I don't have it all together just yet, but I'm still going to, where I'm at, I'm going to love on them. And because of that, these people are on a journey towards God. And that's what I think we need to remember, church. Pastor Rob talks about the Engel scale. You've got your evangelical atheists that are out here, the minus 10s, and then you've got the people who are zeros, and they're sort of, they're the ones who are made a just about to make a decision or making a decision for Christ. And then here's Jesus returning. And that's where we're at. And we have to keep considering where people are at on that scale when we're doing relationship with them. And then what happens is when you actually minister to them through the Holy Spirit, it's right where and what they need to hear. It's exactly what they need to hear. It's not the latest podcast you've listened to or the latest song that you listen to. It's what God is trying to speak to their hearts. Philippians 3:17 says, and it's Paul speaking here, it says, join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. Just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. I'm so thankful for the guys and the girls and the people around me that normalize their faith, that are an example to me that I can learn from. And so one of the things, if you're struggling to normalize your faith, look for those around you who are normalizing their faith. Actually come along, get to know them. That's why we're sitting around tables right now. Learn to normalize your faith. See, when we love people through relationship, it removes judgment and condemnation. It allows us to see people and not products, and allows us all to be ministers. As we do that, we fix our eyes on Jesus, and in our wake, the ministry will happen as we trust in him. And have you ever noticed when you look behind a ship or a boat, the wake, it's never in a straight line. So let's just free ourselves from having to get it right every time and actually step into a place of faith with God. Simplify our faith to love God and love others. Then learn to personalize our faith. Consider those who are in front of us. Consider the people in front of us. And let us to normalize it. Let it become an everyday thing, not just a Sunday thing. I think we can do that. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect.